You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. Defense Secretary Robert Gates is meeting with Iraqi officials this afternoon on his second day in Baghdad. Gates is warning that America's support for the war is waning and Iraq's leaders must do more to solve their country's problems. Two British soldiers have been killed in southeastern Iraq a day after turning control of the province over to Iraqi security forces. Rocket fire last night killed one U.S. Marine and wounded two others. The incident occurred in a coalition base south of Baghdad. The Board of Directors for the World Bank today announced an investigation into the controversy surrounding Bank President Paul Wolfowitz and the promotion of his girlfriend. Yesterday, the bank's managing director called for Wolfowitz's resignation. The U.N. says Somalia is on the brink of unprecedented disaster as government-backed Ethiopian troops battle Islamic insurgents in Mogadishu. Aid workers say the capital city is all but deserted except for fighters. More than 200,000 residents have fled into the countryside where they are dying from disease and starvation. North and South Korean trade negotiators assembled today to discuss food aid for the poverty-stricken Pyongyang. North Korea has demanded 400,000 tons of rice. South Korea wants to tie humanitarian aid to the North's nuclear disarmament. Two important national elections will be held over the weekend. Polls indicate France's presidential election Sunday is too close to call. International election monitors say they expect violence to erupt in Nigeria's national election tomorrow. In Georgia, firefighters continue to battle two wildfires threatening one of America's most important wetlands. The fires have scorched 50 square miles and destroyed 18 homes. More than 1,000 people have been evacuated. Virginia's governor has appointed an independent committee to investigate the Virginia Tech massacre. Also today, the first memorial services were held in Blacksburg, honoring victims of Monday's mass murder. In Littleton, Colorado, Columbine High School was closed today, commemorating the 8th anniversary of the 1999 school shooting in which 15 died. In Yuba and Sutter counties in California, schools are closed today. Authorities say they fear copycat killings. At least 10 schools elsewhere in America are also closed on high alert. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Stay tuned. Science and business are next.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, A Conversation with America, designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distance guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
Newfoundland today has been hit with massive landslides geologists have been unable to explain or prevent. Early this morning, buildings began falling into the sea as the coastline inched closer to the province's main highway. No injuries have been reported. The Australian Coast Guard is calling it a ghost ship. Today, authorities boarded a 36-foot catamaran sailing off the continent's northeast coast, minus its three-man crew. The boat's engine was running, a laptop was turned on, food was on the table ready to eat, all navigation equipment in working condition. The search for the missing crew continues. Former Quest Communication CEO Joe Nachio has been convicted on 19 counts of insider trading. A federal lawsuit has been filed against Yahoo by the wife of an imprisoned and tortured Chinese dissident. Yahoo provided her husband's name to the Chinese authorities, as it routinely does with anti-government activists. The company says it's the price of doing business there. Light sweet crude is trading at $62.70 a barrel. The Dow Jones Industrial Average has broken another record. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones is up 105 points at 12,914. The Nasdaq up 23. The S&P 500 is up 10. and gold is trading at $696.70 an ounce. You can find more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
This is a top to what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
and amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is, if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
Hey everybody, welcome aboard. It's Friday, finally. Welcome aboard Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And, I can't believe another week's gone by. I just can't believe it. And we've got a really, really cool show today. We've got a bunch of just different and new stuff to do today. First of all, in the second half of the show, we're going to debut the first installment of Music with Billy Shears. Billy Shears is now going to be a regular contributor to this program, doing what the plan is, a weekly segment here on Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network. On music, and most of you probably listening to the program probably know about Billy's blog, which is called Musical Poetry, and you can find that at shearsmusic.livejournal.com. And you're going to dig this. It's the first of a four-parter, I'm not going to talk about it too much more until we get there. And before we even get there, we have a guest on in the very next segment. A really good friend of mine, and one of those interesting friends that I have never actually met face to face in this modern world of the internets. A good friend of mine, Lori Irvine, who lives in Queensland and is a final year law student, has a very, very interesting tale to tell about dealing with your rights at work and standing up for oneself. And I think you're gonna really enjoy this. You're really gonna enjoy this story. It's got quite a couple twists and turns, and it's gonna be good fun. But we'll be hearing from Lori. And by the way, those of you that are in the chat room, you would know Lori as Fire Ant. We'll be having him on in a few short minutes, and then we move on to Billy Shears. And geez, I don't have all that much to do during this show. I'm just going to kind of make sure that to fill in the gaps. Now, yesterday I was seething about the lack of forethought dealing with the water situation here in Australia, And one of the comments that I didn't get to make yesterday is the simple fact that chemical mechanized farming is not the way to go when you're having water trouble. And it's a very, well, it should be a well-known fact that organic farming do better in drought conditions and in flood conditions. The use of chemical pesticides has some very, very unpleasant effects on the quality of soil and the water retention. And, you know, if, just for example, if the federal government had maybe 3 years ago made a push with the farmers that, you know, say with some of the financial help that they were getting, saying that they had to turn their systems into an organic system because to get the assistance, they needed to make moves to make their farms more water efficient. And one of the best ways to do that is by using organic farming methods. And I just happened to come across, or not come across, one of the ninjas sent this to me, at newsfarm.org, there's a, or newfarm.org, pardon me, there's a piece here just saying, new finding, organic crops perform up to 100% better in drought and flood years. Imagine the press that would be generated if genetic engineering industry developed a transferable gene that would allow crops to yield 35 to 100% more under drought conditions. Every newspaper would feature the story on its front page and would be on primetime TV. Well, the organic industry, aka organic farmers and researchers, has done the equivalent, not via genetic engineering, but by developing a soil plant system that numerous studies have shown gives crop yields that under drought conditions are commonly 100% higher than comparable conventionally managed crop systems. And there's also many other benefits. When you use chemical pesticides, you end up making yourself more, your crops are more at risk to the very same bugs, mites, and diseases that you're fighting with the pesticides. So it ends up becoming a very kind of self-feeding situation, and it just gets worse and worse. So, it's time to kind of wake up and get away from the systems that we're using. And, I feel so bad for the farmers in this country. I really do. And Howard, with his faith-based water policy, you know, pray for rain, pray for rain, pray for rain. Oh, you're such a moron, Johnny. And I tell you what, we're going to go to our first break a little bit early, if that's all right, Bob, because I want to give as much time in the next segment as I can to Mr. Irvine, so we can give him the time to tell this just absolutely fantastic story. You're really going to enjoy this. So stick around, folks. We're gonna keep the phone lines quiet for most of the show today, just because we've got so much to do. So stick around, everybody. We're going to come right back with Fire Ant on the line and to tell us just an outrageous story. Stick around. You're listening to Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any courses like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office, 1-888-384-5249.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
What? You like music diversity? You enjoy discovering and supporting independent artists? You want to listen to something new and different and cool? Oh, well, you better act fast then. Go to SaveNetRadio.org and sign the petitions to help save Internet radio. If you don't, the big record labels are going to butter their bread with your Internet. SaveNetRadio.org. What? You like music diversity? You enjoy discovering and supporting independent artists? You want to listen to something new and different and cool? Oh, well, you better act fast then. Go to SaveNetRadio.org and sign the petition to help save Internet radio. If you don't, the big record labels are going to butter their bread with your Internet. SaveNetRadio.org.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Panama Red. Panama Red.
Nice one there, Bob. That's great. Oh. All right, everybody. Welcome aboard Foxed Up here for a Friday morning. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're doing fine. And let's just go straight to the phones because we have our good mate, Lori Irvine, a.k.a. Fire Ant, in the chat room. How you going, Lori? Welcome to the program.
Hey, great, John. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, man. When you caught me in the chat, I guess it was day before yesterday, and told me part one of your tale, and then told me the wonderful conclusion yesterday, and we kept this a secret from everybody else just because I wanted to be selfish and have it on the show. So please just go ahead and tell this tale. I think this is just one of the most fantastic stories of or just a great story that I've heard in a long time.
All right. Well, I'm in my final year of law and that, and I don't really need to work. I've been saving money for a few years now, but I still like to work just to get a good name in that, and I've got a good reputation with the labor hire company I work for and the copper refinery who I used to work for. And the last, well, for 2 days this week, I worked for a road construction company. And when I got there, I seem to cut a lot of corners in workplace health and safety. No toilets, no sunscreen. We're working out in the hot Australian sun all day. No access to water. The workers seem to be underpaid and they didn't seem to be happy. So I'm working my second day. And about the seventh hour, the foreman came up to me and told me that I can finish work early and I can go home, told me to go home. So I knew that as a casual worker, they've got to give you 2 hours notice in Australia. They can't just, you know, say, go home early and that and not pay you the full 8 hours. So I go into the boss's office for this construction company and I write down 8 hours. And he wanted to dispute the hours and say, you know, you only work 7 hours. And I said, well, you breached the contract. I expected a full day today, and I expect to get paid a full day. And he says, but you're just a contractor, meaning I don't know why you're trying to fight this. I mean, you got no rights, basically, he was trying to tell me. And he was saying, what happens if it rains and you only work 4 hours? Do I have to pay the other 4 hours? And I go, no, that's frustration, mate. You don't have to pay that. It's allowed to breach there, but you're not allowed to breach in a situation to say to a worker, oh, I only want you to 4 hours. Because I've worked for companies in the past that do that. They'll call you in as a casual worker and you end up working half the day. And I said, you know, I could have worked somewhere else today for a full day. And anyway, this guy was starting to get a bit aggressive. He's saying, you know, the reason why I hire casual workers is so they won't stand up for their rights, basically. And I said, well, in that case, I will not be working for this road construction company ever again. And then he threatened to blacklist me. He said, well, in that case, I'm going to ring up the labour hire company and have them blacklist you. And that's when I revealed who I really was. I said, I'm a final year law student, and that's defamation of character, and I will be practicing law next year. And that sort of shook him up a bit.
I reckon it did.
And more or less I said, good afternoon, and I wish you the best of luck. And I walked out the office. And then when I walked out and I hopped into my car, I realised I'm going to be in deep trouble with this labour hire company, because he's going to ring them up. Because, you know, I'm going to have to move it out with them somehow. Because I pretty much upset the labour hire company as well. But I thought, I can't back down out of this. So I come home to get a drink, because I hadn't been drinking all day. And
yeah, really?
Yeah, like, we had no water out there. It's like over 30 degrees Celsius here. I don't know what that's like, Fahrenheit, but it's stinking hot. And
it's stinking hot. I'm not going to interrupt you much, but I dealt with that when I first got here with crew companies. And, you know, you'd have crews of 60 guys out at a concert site. And I actually introduced with one the whole idea of having, you know, the big dispenser of Gatorade. And it was just like I was a god to all these people because I had drinks there. And, the duty of care level with some of these people is just shocking. But please continue.
Right. So I'll talk to my flatmate because I'm going to have to think of something to say to this labor hire company. And sure enough, my supervisor from the labour hire company brings me up, and I said, I'm just on my way now. And she says, thanks, I really appreciate that, Laurie. And then we hang up, and I'm thinking, yeah, they already know about it. So I drive into the company, you know, I'm going to be as diplomatic as possible without backing down. Like, I've gone too far now, and I'm not going to give in my dignity. So I walk into the office, and my supervisor comes out and she says, Laurie, how are you? What happened? When I heard when that bloke rang up, that didn't sound like you, Laurie. That didn't sound like my innocent, courteous Laurie. And I go into an office and I explain my side of the story, and especially the bit about the blacklisting. And she says, you mean to say he threatened to blacklist you? She was pretty shocked. And she said, did you make any threats to him? And I go, what sort of threats? And she said, he said that you threatened to have some people look into his business practices. And I go, absolutely not. No. Like, obviously, he must have been shaken up because he had to resort to telling a lie to get me blacklisted, which, I don't think they really believed. And I said, well, I might have caused a bit of trouble for you know, this labor hire company. And she says, well, that's not the reason why I wanted you to come in anyway. I've got a brother-in-law who happens to be a lawyer in town, and how far into your law degree are you? When are you going to finish? Because I've had a talk to him, and he wants to meet you, and he might be able to offer you some work. So sure enough, he gives me his contact details. I ring him up that afternoon, get a interview yesterday afternoon, and I've got a job as a law clerk, which is very hard to get in this city. So yeah, that I guess that guy really did a good job of blacklisting me.
Well, like I said to you in the chat this yesterday, I said, well, you know, he was kind of right. No more construction work for you, but he didn't realize exactly how that was going to pan out. But I think that I just think this is so fantastic because you and I have talked, from time to time over the last, I guess, couple of years. You and I have gotten to know each other, and you've mentioned before that your kind of dream gig would actually be to be working in law for workers' rights, as like either as a union lawyer or some such thing like that. And it sounds like you may have just kicked open a fantastic door for yourself in a way that you never would have expected.
Well, I honestly thought that I was going to get reprimanded and receive a warning when I went back to that labor hire company office. I honestly thought that, and no way in the world did I ever imagine I was going to pick up a job in the law firm after that incident.
Well, I'll tell you. I think what the real moral of this whole story is, though, as you know, in Australia we've got this whole work choices, which means you have a choice to work for less situation, and I think that even though the United States hasn't gone through this massive thing, there are similar situations with people having lack of rights on the job. However, you still do have rights, and the crucial thing is when someone tries to deny you of your rights as a citizen and as a worker, people need to do what you did. And I think the key is, you have an advantage. You have an extensive education in the legal aspect of it. But if people actually educate themselves on what their rights are as an employee, regardless of where they live, and someone tries to screw them, the key is standing your ground, because these people only get away with it when you let them.
They rely on fear, and you cannot let fear get to you. And I think one of the reasons why I'm able to do what I did is, I'm not wealthy, but I've got enough money to live on for a while, and in case something like that happens, I've always made an effort to have enough money to last a couple of months in case work gets so bad. And I've also got a good reputation with previous employers, but it's not always that easy to have money saved up, especially if you've got a mortgage paying off a house, or you've got a family, and especially if the lower wages people are getting these days, it's just getting harder for the workers. And that's what I've been realizing in the last few years as I've been working my way through university, that I've seen many people and that are having their rights taken away from them at work. And I just wish someone could help them, or they could help themselves.
This is exactly why I wanted to have you on and to be able to tell this story, because I don't think you need to be a law student to be able to take a stand like you did. Now you did have that little extra bomb that you were able to drop on this guy, and it sounds like his business practices may not be up to scratch. And so, I think you seriously put some fear into this guy, and I think good on you. And he'll think twice before he pulls this with someone else.
Yes, he wasn't expecting me to be a final year law student. He probably just thought of some guy off the street that was really desperate for work and would be willing to put up with anything.
Absolutely. And like you said, they use fear, and unfortunately there are too many people that, unlike yourself, who happen to have a little bit put aside, you know, most people, most working people are living paycheck to paycheck. So even if just the fear of going through the hassle for maybe losing a couple weeks' wages could end up putting their lives into entire chaos, so they end up backing down. And this is something that is going on worldwide as far as I can see.
Yes. And like in the city, and there's a city south of here called Mackay, prices of rent and people paying off houses is becoming ridiculously high. The people that were looking to move into my last unit, they were paying $425 a week for a caravan. And like I was paying $200 a week for the 2-bedroom unit, and I thought that was dear. But $200 is nothing now, and people are spending up to 80% of their income just on rent in North Queensland.
And it's terrible here in Sydney at the moment. I think you know, we're at over 99% capacity as far as, you know, filled rentals. And actually, when Gail and I got the new place that we have, we actually had to go into a bidding war against other possible applicants, where it was that situation, okay, here's a rent range. What are you willing to pay for this place? And that's a very scary thing.
That's where the law might come in again, John, because I know someone up here that went into a bidding war, and he just happened to have some of this bidding war on paper, and he took it to the Department of Housing, and he took them to the cleaners, more or less, and he got...
Well, I saw... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
So he got a reasonable price rent rather than the bidding war. So he was able...
Yeah, I saw a thing here in New South Wales. This is, like, never been seen before, and there's actually supposedly nothing really on the books to regulate or control this kind of thing.
Yes.
And I think that there will probably end up being a test case at some point here in the future, and I'm hoping that it'll come down on the right side of people.
Yes, well, with this housing, the price going up, it makes me wonder, there's going to have to be a big housing crash soon, with especially if people buying up houses, the upper class buying up all the houses, and the inflation, the bubble's going to have to burst, John. And
And down here in Sydney, we had the Olympic bubble, and that has already begun to burst, and that's part of what's causing the problems. People wanted to make their quick buck with the Olympics, and now they have mortgages that they can't pay off, and you know, there are defaults happening at a record rate in this state, from what I understand. And who ends up winning in all that? The banks. No one else but the banks.
The banks. And possibly some lawyers.
Well, hopefully that's where you end up coming in. I have to wrap it up, though, Lori. I so appreciate you being on, and I really wish you the best of luck with the new job. And I just really think it's fantastic that you've gotten a door kicked open in your own community, because I know you've stated before that you would like to practice law. It, you know, kind of representing, you know, your local community, which I think is a very, very good thing, very, very great, you know, vibe to have, and I thank you for it.
All right. Thank you, John.
All right, man. You have a great day, and have a great weekend, and, you know, slam a couple of beers over the weekend. You deserve it. All right, man, that was Lori Irvine, a good friend from Queensland. And how is that? Talk about sticking it to the man in the best way. So we're going to our break a little bit late here, folks, but I had to get that whole thing in. That was just fantastic. And thank you so much, Lori. And so stick around. Straight after this break, we have the very, very first Shears Music segment here on Foxed Up. And it's the first of four parts on Mr. Billy Joel, and this is a really, really great piece. I hope you enjoy it, so stick around, folks. You listen to Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network, and we'll be right back with Mr. Billy Shears.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
It must have been prayer meeting with Reverend Brother Bob.
See, hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robert Sunday without conjuring me. This is a known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, you know, God just continues to punk Robert Sunday. After time, after time, and it goes back for years, you know. Let's talk a minute about his business ventures. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called Calo Vita, and it was a multi-level marketing company that breeds that pyramid scheme.
Yeah, like Amway.
Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sea of Galilee Mud Mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes, thank you.
You no.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea of Galilee Mud Mask?
Oh, yes, it was part of the product line.
Prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid, Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network. The Horn.
Have you ever wondered what goes through the mind of a creative genius? Well, Billy Joel is a creative genius. He used to give these little mini concerts that are question and answer sessions and in the New York area. And he wanted just to kind of share what he's been through and how he comes up with ideas, etc. A young lady in the audience wanted to know how he wrote River of Dreams. And I thought his answer was really fascinating. I mean, it gives you an insight into the creative process. So, well, I'll tell you what, I'll just let Billy Joel tell you how he did it. Here you go.
Originally, when I was writing the River of Dreams song, I had this preface to it. I was trying to write a suite, and I was trying to jam this onto the top of the beginning of River of Dreams. It was actually written as a piano piece. I'll show you. I wrote it before I had any lyrics. I had this melody. It was... There's a lot of stuff I wrote. I don't even know why I wrote. The River of Dreams was written. You know, River of Dreams really is the title, is a play on the phrase stream of consciousness. I didn't know why I was writing the things I was writing, but, you know, you're a writer. Hey, you get an idea. Go with it. You know, just go. In the middle of the night, I go walking in my sleep in the mountains of faith to a river so deep. I must be looking for something taken out of my soul. Something I'd... It made sense to me at the time. Deserts. But a river is a religious icon. It's a religious image. They're baptizing in river, and you got to cross the river, and there's the Jordan, and people are getting dunked in the river, and armies on either side of rivers, and rivers of blood, and Joan rivers, you know, all kinds of rivers. But... I woke up, I could not get rid of this song. I dreamt this thing, And something had gotten to me in the night. Some one of those. See, I had this. Then I made the mistake of getting in the shower with a song in my head, right? Then I'm on the shower. In the middle of the night, hot chihuahua, got a hot chihuahua, put the soap on it, hot chihuahua. Oh, it's really hot, hot chihuahua. And you know how your voice sounds? Your voice in the shower is kind of like echo, echo, echo. In the middle of the night, I walk in the sea. And I couldn't shake this thing, and I'm trying to get rid of it. I want to write the song, I want to write the song. But forget it, I was a dead duck. I'm in the shower. And I got all, I got religion in the shower. I don't know what happened, you know. So it was this spiritual thing. And I mean, those things happen all the time. I know they happen with artists. Artists can kind of tune into that sometimes, even though we don't know when we're tuning in, we're there. We have our hands in something, we don't know what it is.
I do love this song. This is a great song. It's like possessive. You want to get up and dance. Cheers, and hey, thanks for leaning in here.
All right, thank you, Mr. Shears. How cool is that? And I'm just so honored to have him jump in and become a part of this program because, you know, just people who love music, it's just a groovy thing. And Billy and I have talked a couple times on the phone, and you know, I said, you know, I'm still enough of a hippie and enough of an optimist that I do believe that one day music will save this planet. and we just got to remind people what good music is and what musicianship is and what creativity is and, you know, all those wonderful things. So we're going to sneak out for our final break here for the week. And so stick around. We're going to talk about a couple things, wrap it up, and send everybody off for the weekend. So you're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And we'll be right back after this.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WBYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be ye warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Shem alek ma yelama, shem ahezah yelama, son ashen evor asfen, akuig again ma yelama.
Gorgeous, man. Ah, love those harmonies. Ah, what a way to send us off for a Friday morning, man. That's just gorgeous. I got to find that. All right, everybody. You know, wow, it's been a really, really interesting show. It's usually me just rattling off, you know, my environmental tirades, but you know, part of the environmental movement really is also you know, human rights and workers' rights. When you really get down to it, and you know, to hear a story like Lori's is great, because I'm telling you what's been going down here in Australia with worker rights has just been absolutely a crime. And in fact, this has been one of the things about the work choices thing. You know, it's been going for about a year, and Howard and his ass kissers go walking around talking about how much better it is and all this stuff, but yet they won't release any of their own statistics on pay, worker entitlements. But people have been but some stuff got leaked to the Sydney Morning Herald this week, and they were showing that in especially in hospitality, retail and manufacturing, I think it was one third or two thirds of what are now called workplace agreements, some benefit was lost, like overtime loading or holiday pay or you know, some entitlement was lost. And you know, they try to make claims that, well, people are getting paid more, so you know, this is, but the numbers don't add up. And if the numbers actually did add up, Howard and Costello and all these idiots would be sitting there trumping all their own data, but they refuse to release it. What does that tell you? Well, it tells you that they're full of it. And the only way that we end up getting actual details from the government body that would follow this stuff is it has to be leaked. And it's just shocking, you know. And it's one of the reasons that I am a pain in the ass, and I refuse to work for someone else. I have to create my own business. And I've also, you know, been self-employed for over 20 years now, in one way or another. And, you know, this is... I could not bow down to somebody else. You know, I believe that I am a very, very easy person to work with, but I want to work on an even playing field. And you know, I have worked some lower class jobs that at times, and I've seen some horrible treatment. I'll never forget when I first moved to Texas years ago. While I was hunting around for something more in my field, I ended up grabbing a job at a car wash that was close to where I worked. And most of the employees at this car wash were Mexican Americans, and what I gather were some illegals. And these guys just absolutely busted their hump every day. And the car wash was owned by one of San Antonio's largest auto dealerships. And they would actually have you line up in the order that you showed up for work and would punch you in as they needed you. But yet you signed paperwork that said you were signing up for a 40-hour week full-time job. And I had a big mouth. I came from New York down to Texas, so you know that they really, really didn't like me much. And I made some noise a couple of times. And, you know, if it started raining, they just send you home and punch you out. And it's just, you know, people supporting families and whatnot. It was just insane. Well, I ended up going and reporting this employer to I guess it was Better Business in Texas or whatever it was at the time, and they came and investigated. Well, it didn't take them long to figure out who actually knew about the rights of workers out of the folks that worked there, and they knew it was me. They, you know, could make an educated guess, and they knew it was me. Well, because I was a white boy, and I spoke American English, I ended up moving off the vacuum line rather quickly and was driving cars on. You know, they thought that this was a promotion. And suddenly, after having a perfect run for months and months and months, suddenly I had cars coming out the other end with, you know, windows cracked open and things like that. And, you know, I just didn't buy it. And they were about to fire me, and I told them to get bent. You can take this job and shove it. Now, as this was happening, the guy that I interviewed with for the local music store in San Antonio had just happened to pull through my car wash and says, "Hey, funny I should run into you. You've got the job." So at this point, it didn't matter what these guys did to me. And there were these T-shirts that we had to wear that we had to actually pay $5 for, and you were supposed to return the T-shirt if you left. And as I walked off, they're going, "Give us your shirt." And I just grabbed it from the front and just tore it straight off of my chest and said, "There you go." And when I went to go and get my final paycheck, they wanted me to sign a paper that said that I did intentional damage to vehicles. And I said, "I'm not signing that." And the guy goes, "You want your paycheck?" And dangles it in front of me. And I just snatched it out of his hand. And I said, "See ya, you stupid bastard." "You'll never get me to sign that damn thing, you idiot." But, you know, again, it was a situation where I did know my rights and I was willing to stand up for them. And thankfully, just kind of in the nick of time, I was given the insurance that I already had another job lined up doing something much more along the lines of what I did. And so I went and started selling, you know, guitars and pianos, which was good. So we're coming up on the end of things here, folks. I very much want to thank Mr. Billy Shears for his piece today. It was fantastic. Thank you, mate. Looking forward to part two. Thank you to B1 Louder Productions, Scott Berry. Thank you for the other music. Thank you to Bob Kincaid for producing and playing Mr. DJ. Thank you to the News Ninjas for everything that they do, to ELO, Lottie, Peter, all our mods in the chat room for what they do for us. Thank you to the Carpenters for everything that they do for the network, White Rose Society for the streaming, the archives, the fundraiser still going. Go over there and do the right thing. And I'm remembering this today. Jeff Allen Wolf, up next. I don't know why I brain fart that every day. I'm sorry, Jeff. But anyway, Jeff Allen Wolf is coming up next. So stick around. And as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green. We'll see you on Monday.
I would tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes, eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f***. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. Thank you.
I would stop thinking about music and politics. I would tell you that I poop. If ever I stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about.
This is the Quality News Network. Stores in Virginia are selling out of maroon and orange as Hokie Hope Day sent non-Hokies searching for the school colors of Virginia Tech. A moment of silence has been requested by Virginia's governor for noon today. In Littleton, Colorado, Columbine High School is closed today, April 20th, as it has every year for the past eight, to commemorate the 1999 school shootings. Copycat incidents have now been reported in 10 cities across America. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid has stirred the ire of Republican lawmakers who say that he's turned his back on America's troops with his comment that the war in Iraq is, quote, lost, end quote. Senate GOP Leader Mitch Mitchell said, quote, I can't begin to imagine how our troops in the field who are risking their lives every day are going to react when they get back to base and hear that the Democrat leader of the United States has declared the war is lost, end quote. Two British soldiers have been killed in southeastern Iraq. The men were hit by a roadside bomb while on a routine patrol. Rocket fire last night killed one U.S. Marine, wounded two others. The incident occurred in a coalition base south of Baghdad. In the past 3 years, Iraq has become a world leader in the use of the death penalty. Only China, Iran, and Pakistan execute more of its citizenry. That's according to human rights group Amnesty International, which is calling for Iraq to abolish the practice. The Board of Directors for the World Bank today announced an investigation into the controversy surrounding Bank President Paul Wolfowitz and the promotion of his girlfriend. Yesterday, the bank's managing director called for Wolfowitz's resignation. The UN says Somalia is on the brink of an unprecedented disaster as government-backed Ethiopian forces battle Islamic insurgents in Mogadishu. Aid workers say the capital city is all but deserted except for fighters. North and South Korea trade negotiators assemble today to discuss food aid for the poverty-stricken Pyongyang.